When Rosaline pulled back the towel, I saw an inch-long gash across a puffy place high over her eyebrow. "Is it hurting bad?" I asked. "Some," she said. She circled the cell two or three times before sinking down onto the bench. "T-Ray will get us out," I said.
"Uh-huh."
She didn't speak another word till Mr. Gaston opened the cell door about a half hour later.
"Come on,"
he said. Rosaline looked hopeful for a moment. She actually started to lift herself up. He shook his head.
"You ain't going anywhere. Just the girl."
At the door, I held on to a cell bar like it was the long bone in Rosaline's arm. "I'll be back, all right? All right, Rosaline?"
"You go on. I'll manage."
The caved-in look of her face nearly did me in. The speedometer needle on T-Ray's truck wiggled so badly I couldn't make out whether it pointed to 70 or 80. Leaning into the steering wheel, he jammed his foot onto the accelerator, let off, then jammed it again. The poor truck was rattling to the point I expected the hood to fly off and decapitate a couple of pine trees. I imagined that T-Ray was rushing home so he could start right away constructing pyramids of grits all through the house, a torture chamber of food staples, where I would go from one pile to the next, kneeling for hours on end with nothing but bathroom breaks. I didn't care. I couldn't think of anything but Rosaline back there in jail. I squinted at him sideways. "What about Rosaline? You have to get her out."
"You're lucky I got you out," he yelled.
"But she can't stay there."
"She dumped snuff juice on three white men. What the hell was she thinking? And on Franklin Posey, for Christ's sake. She couldn't pick somebody normal. He's the meanest nigger hater in Sylvan. He'd as soon kill her as look at her."
"But not really," I said. "You don't mean he would really kill her?"
"What I mean is, I wouldn't be surprised if he flat out killed her."
My arms felt weak in their sockets. Franklin Posey was the man with the flashlight, and he was gonna kill Rosaline. But then hadn't I known this inside even before T-Ray ever said it? He followed me up the stairs. I moved with deliberate slowness, anger suddenly building in me. How could he leave Rosaline in jail like that? As I stepped inside my room, he stopped at the doorway.
"I have to go settle the payroll for the Pickers," he said. "Don't you leave this room. You understand me? You sit here and think about me coming back and dealing with you. Think about it real hard."
"You don't scare me," I said, mostly under my breath. He'd already turned to leave, but now he whirled back.
"What'd you say?"
"You don't scare me," I repeated, louder this time. A brazen feeling had broken loose in me, a daring something that had been locked up in my chest. He stepped toward me, raising the back of his hand like he might bring it down across my face.
"You better watch your mouth."
"Go ahead. Try and hit me," I yelled. When he swung, I turned my face. It was a clean miss. I ran for the bed and scrambled onto the middle of it, breathing hard. "My mother will never let you touch me again," I shouted.
"Your mother?"
His face was bright red.
"You think that goddamn woman gave a shit about you?"
"My mother loved me," I cried. He threw back his head and let out a forced, bitter laugh. It's not funny," I said. He lunged toward the bed then, pressing his fists into the mattress, bringing his face so close I could see the tiny holes where his whiskers grew. I slid backward toward the pillows, shoving my back into the headboard.
"Not funny," he yelled. "Not funny? Why, it's the funniest goddamn thing I ever heard. You thinking your mother's your guardian angel."
He laughed again.
"The woman could have cared less about you."
"That's not true," I said.
"It's not. And how would you know?"
he said, still leaning toward me. A leftover smile pulled the corners of his mouth.
"I hate you,"
I screamed. That stopped his smiling instantly. He stiffened.
"Why, you little bitch,"
he said. The color faded from his lips. Suddenly I felt ice cold, as if something dangerous had slipped into the room. I looked toward the window and felt a tremor slide along my spine.
"You listen to me,"
he said, his voice deadly calm.
The truth is, your sorry mother ran off and left you. The day she died, she come back to get her things, that's all. You can hate me all you want, but she's the one who left you.
The room turned absolutely silent. He brushed at something on his shirt front, then walked to the door.